Nations, on that fated land, a great war shall transpire. Darkness will prevail, and light expire. This world is full of light. It's a world comprised of many smaller worlds, all connected, stretching as far as the eye can see. One great light protects us all. All worlds share one light, one fate.
I take it you're talking about Kingdom Hearts.
Yep.
In ancient times, people believed that light was a gift from an unseen land. The name of Kingdom Hearts. But Kingdom Hearts was safeguarded by its counterpart, the Keyblade. Warriors vied for that precious light, thus beginning the Keyblade War. All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
Sounds like your trip around the world opened your eyes, but you got a little bit more than you anticipated.
Must have seen a lot of darkness.
So you're saying the weak feel the need to justify their actions to maintain a sense of self. Can't let that slide. I suppose letting false light dictate the future might be a pretty lousy move. So, you can make a change. You have that power. What do you want for the world? You believe the world needs you. Sounds like you already know where you're headed. If you truly possess great power, the darkness can't control you.
All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
Why not just sit back and watch it play out?
All of this was decided.
May your heart be your guiding key.
Who are you really? Some kind of fortune teller?
Well, I could lie, tell you that's what I am, when I'm actually a brilliant artist, even a scholar. I could tell you that I dream of world peace, when I'm actually planning for its destruction. The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
Why not just sit back and watch it play out?
All of this was decided.
May your heart be your guiding key. Guiding key.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have made it back from the void. The Landy Lodge is live yet again with episode 183. I've missed you guys. For those not caught up on the Landy Lodge canon, my internet speeds have been fluctuating between like zero and a high number for the last two and a half weeks. In fact, they spent most of its time grounded below like 1 megabyte per second. So I haven't really been able to go live. I haven't been able to upload much content. But I'm happy to say that based on the last few days, it looks like the speeds are back and the lodge can get rolling yet again. But again, it's been a long couple weeks without you guys. I'm happy to be back talking some Kingdom Hearts yet again. Again, I got a lot of FF16 content in the pipeline. A lot of Kingdom Hearts stuff in the pipeline. I've also got some amazing guests. The month of August is going to be a great month for guests, and I'll have some exciting announcements over the next few weeks too. But without my rambling and all of that aside, here we have the Sages of the Lodge, the beautiful humans that are amazing enough to throw as little as $1 a month my way to keep my nonsense going. They deserve all the love and respect in the world. But as I always say to you guys, all of that is just a bonus. All I ask is that you're here to hang out and that we have a chat, you know, create a cool space for everyone to hang out after work, during work, before work, in the car, while you eat some dinner. I don't know. You pick your activity to ride alongside this crazy ride. But anyway, I think there was one more thing I wanted to say if I got into it. Oh, yeah. So again, since my internet speeds have been a little wonky, I'm actually going to be simultaneously recording this episode just in case we lose connection. So if you find we lose connection along the way in this episode, fear not. The episode in full will be uploaded in the aftermath in a neat and complete form. So we got all bases covered here. Nothing to worry about. I suppose we should jump into it. But first, let's give some love to the chat before we really get into it. I see we got a number of you guys in here already. Blader Art, Mar Creation, Twilight Blaze, The Hypeman, Tiger Weirdo, Silver Dash. Here comes Kevin, Sven, Roxas 13 Productions, The Dikey, Yosuke, Vexidus. Everybody is here, man. The Master of Masters, The Gummy Phone, Harumichi, Hyrule Falcone. Oh, Lord, people came out. That's what I like to see. For those who may be watching it as a rerun, I held a poll, which so far is coming in at 26 votes, asking, will Ventus be a big part of the Lost Masters arc? Which is a big thing of what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk about Ventus's past dating back to Union Cross. I want to talk relatively about his Birth by Sleep or Kingdom Hearts 3 journey, even though I think a lot of that is pretty straightforward. But then I really want to get into the future. What might be in the pipeline for Ventus coming with the Lost Masters arc? Because I think there's a lot of implications that he's going to be important. But anyway, I asked you guys, the chat, I'll check in with this poll throughout the episode, but I asked, will Ventus be a big part of the Lost Masters arc? 81% of you answered absolutely, 4% of you answered absolutely not, and 15% of you responded with, Venti went to sleep. All right. Oh my God, Master of Masters is here. Yeah. We're doing it. Okay, so look, I want to spend most of the beginning on like sort of his Birth by Sleep and Kingdom Hearts 3 journey, but you know, there's something that's been rolling around my head a lot lately. There are a number of scenes in the Kingdom Hearts series that we as a fan base just do not talk about enough, even though they deserve all the conversation in the world. And one of those scenes is the scene you're seeing right before you hear, not only that Ventus is reunited with his Chirithi, but that he remembers the Chirithi, or remembers it at least well enough to know that it is a friend of his. Now, obviously, we know Ventus, through his sleep, he dreamt of the Dream Eaters. Maybe a little bit of his Union Cross days bled in. But the sheer fact that he remembers the Chirithi has to imply that he's starting to remember Union Cross. And I wonder how much he's going to remember. Like, is he going to recall that he was the one who struck down Strelitzia? Is he going to remember the Dandelions? Is he going to remember Book of Prophecies? All of that. Like, it's a little crazy because, again, you have to consider, here he is. He knows who his Chirithi is, at least to some degree, man. Like, that's an embrace. These two are clearly homies. He knows who this is. And it's just something we do not talk about enough. Because I think Ventus who starts to remember, I want to get the good freeze frame. Ventus who starts to remember Union Cross is going to shake things up. And it's going to shake things up a lot. Hey, yo, Black Roxas is staying 13. Thank you for the follow on Twitch. It's going to shake things up a lot. Master says maybe he just wanted to take home a stray cat. It could be that. Maybe this is Nomura kind of acting out his love of cats. But again, this is just something that, you know, and how much of it is he keeping it to himself? Because then you have to consider that Melody and Memory has the 1 year time skip. So that's 1 year of him being with this Chirithi. How much is the Chirithi telling him, right? You got to imagine him and this Chirithi are having some conversations. I don't know. I'll mull about it over a sip of tea. Like, wouldn't he, in theory, if he's speaking with his Chirithi, isn't he going to seek out Marluxia and Larxene? You know what I mean? I don't know. But it's been years since we saw the scene. Everyone was like, oh my God, he remembers. But what does this mean for us moving forward? You know what I mean? I don't know. I just always found that pretty interesting. We'll definitely talk about it a little more, but just to kind of get everybody's wheels turning about, you know, where the character of Ventus is headed, because for many, 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 many reasons, you know, we have reason to believe that he may not be as involved as someone like Sora or Riku, but with the Dandelions and Quadratum in play, primarily Strelitzia, and we're going to get into that. I definitely want to get into that. Trust me, guys, I want to talk about this dynamic a little bit, because I imagine that we're going to see some kind of interaction between these three, you know? Because there wasn't any implication that Marluxia had these sort of Lorium memories, because he didn't act towards Ventus or Roxas any particular way that would allude to that. My question now is, what does he do now that he remembers? And are the two of them going to work together? I do not know. But I want to talk a little bit about the Union Cross era. Because Ventus connects us not only to the Dandelions, but to Master Ava as well. Hey, yo, we have a donation from Mar Creation Studios over on Twitch, threw us some bits. He says, I like to think that he regained all of his memories when he regained his memories at the end of Birth by Sleep. And he keeps it to himself because, let's be honest, how would he bring it up? Would anybody believe him? He probably just wants to keep things simple between himself and his new friends. That's an interesting idea. But here, I'll fight you on one thing. I feel like if he did regain all of his memories, all his encounters with Vanitas would be very different. Especially now that we have to consider that Vanitas very well may be a true darkness. I most certainly think he is, but Kingdom Hearts has had its red herrings before, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But yeah, you know, it makes me think that, hey, what's going on, Umbra? Good to see you here. It makes me think that his encounters with Vanitas might have played out differently. So I don't know. Because again, he has a lot of memories. That's what you have to consider. He knows about Book of Prophecies. He knows about Brain wanting to be the virus in the Master System. Master Ava, Foretellers. He would know who Marluxia and Larxene were. Wouldn't that have changed things? You know what I mean? Okay. But as far as Ventus in the Union Cross era, this is primarily why I think he's going to be a big part of the future. Because, you know, you can kind of see it started in Kingdom Hearts 3. You saw a little bit of it with Melody and Memory. But the mobile games have made it very clear that Union Cross is sort of like, it's the backstory from which this entire plot springs. The nexus from which all worlds springs, you know? Everything that's going on now is almost dragging Union Cross back into existence. You know, you have to consider that the Master of Masters, he's not necessarily from the Union Cross era, as in, like, that's where he's originally from. He does have another world at another time that we don't know about. But he essentially is a Union Cross character. He made his debut in Union Cross, and now he's being set up to be the main antagonist. I mean, it's more than likely he's the Lost Master that this arc is named after. So this is like Union Cross, almost like the era as a whole, time traveling into the future, coming to interact with everything that's happening at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3. I mean, we see it with Strelitzia being in Quadratum. So, you know, I've talked about Marluxia probably, Lorium, doing everything he can to get into Quadratum. I wonder if Ventus is going to have the same sort of compulsion. Because again, he has his Chirithi now. And I can't imagine that Chirithi keeps his lips sealed this whole time. If not, it'll make for a very interesting plot point in the future. Okay. Tiger Weirdo is asking, who's staying up late for us, by the way. Shout out to him. Says, just to check, who are the Ancient Masters? Is it the Union Leaders? So there seems to be a little bit of a discrepancy between the translation. Apparently it's not, and I don't know this for sure, but I don't think it's ever supposed to be Lost Masters. I think it was always meant to be Lost Master, more singular. Either way, that is generally what they're referring to when they talk about Ancient Masters, Lost Masters, is they're talking about the Union leaders. They may even be talking about the Dandelions too. Because, yeah, you also have to consider the end of Kingdom Hearts 3, the whole secret episode was essentially Union Cross getting pulled into the fold. So again, I think Ventus is one of these shoo-ins for who's going to be a major character in the future. Now, let me see if I can find it here. I know this is when they're talking about it. So yeah, so that's the other thing too. Is this whole mystery with Ventus, him being taken by the darkness, striking down Strelitzia, it all ties in with Master Ava as well. It's all tied in very closely with Master Ava. And look, if all the other foretellers are back, you know Master Ava's coming back. And I imagine Ventus is probably one of her sleepers. You know what I mean? Sakura Lily says, yeah, I don't think Ven recovered any of his memories. I think he probably has vague recollection when he sees Chirithi and more about the familiarity than solid memories at best. Yeah, that's what I mean, is maybe he was just following his heart. That's a good way to conceptualize it. And we've seen the series sort of play on that. He could have just been following his heart and be like, hey, this Chirithi feels familiar to my heart. Hence him embracing it, wanting to reconnect. Speaking of reconnect, Kingdom Hearts Reconnect. Again, you guys have seen me talk about this on the show. Live event being put on by KH Guides. Hold on, this is a big scene. Definitely want to pause this. Live event being put on by KH Guides. I myself am going to be there. Lands and Masters is in the chat is going to be there. Andy Brew, Kitties and Middies, Faye Leetsy. A lot of people are going to be there that you may want to meet. However, if you can't make it in person, there is a live streamed online event you could take part in. And there'll be some exciting announcements about Reconnect soon, so definitely want to stay tuned. But anyway, let's jump back into this. So again, it's not just that Ventus is connected to the Union Cross era, it's that he was pretty pivotal in what was the primary mystery surrounding all of this. So between Master Ava being yet to show herself, between Strelitzia being right at the center of Quadratum, and Ventus remembering the Chirithi, you put those three things together, it seems obvious something big with Ventus is coming. And, you know, there's something else about the character, and I guess maybe we'll hop on over the Birth by Sleep days to talk about this part, is that he's a pure light. Again, that's something about his character I don't think it's talked about enough, is that Ventus is a pure light. There are not many characters in the series that can tout that. Chat, I'll need your help. Ventus, Kairi, who else? Is there anybody else in the Kingdom Hearts series that can tout that they are a pure light? I've got Ventus. I've got Kairi. Who else do we got? It's kind of a big deal. Silver Dash says, I think it's just those two. Maleficent. Let me tell you, Maleficent's another one you got to look out for. She's still in the game. The Princess of Hearts. Yes, okay. Princess of Hearts 2. That's it right there. But let's be honest. When it comes to the end game, I'm not sure we see the Princess of Hearts much anymore. Strelitzia? I don't think Strelitzia is a pure light. So I don't know. Nominee is known to have darkness in her heart. She says it herself. Yeah, I almost feel like the nature of being a nobody means there's probably darkness in your heart. I mean, the nature of existence has darkness. Characters like the Princesses of Heart, Ventus and Kairi, are the exception. They're not the rule. We don't even know the new seven yet. Yeah, I hope we get to know them all by the end of KH4. That would be nice. I think they'll make Mickey one by default. Maybe. We've never seen Mickey use darkness. But I feel like they would have told us by now. Ayo Gummy Phone says, I think it's kind of implied Strelitzia is the princess of Daybreak Town, because Daybreak started collapsing when she disappeared. Ooh, Gummy Phone. Interesting. That's very interesting. Laying all the more important on her death. Huh. That makes me think. Umbra says, maybe in Mickey's young days? Maybe. Oh, Ericus. Maybe Ericus until right before he dies? No, Ericus is not a pure light. That was sort of his belief. Like, he believed in the pure light. That was his ideological standpoint. But I don't think Ericus was a pure light at all. So again, it's really just Ventus and Kairi. Which, again... And then you'd have to consider that Vanitas is coming back. That's my opinion. I mean, Dark Road to me, I think, makes it pretty obvious we're going to see Vanitas again. Let's see if we can find ourselves a little Vanitas scene. There we go. There's our boy. But Vanitas too, and him being connected to the true darknesses. And not only that, Ventus is one of the characters who's entangled with the pure darkness before. And maybe it's going to take a pure darkness to see, I mean, a pure light to seal away one of the ancient darknesses. Because you know what? Let's find that scene in Union Cross. Let's find that scene where Ventus takes him on. See, there's the darkness. And that's the important thing, too. Ventus did not start as a pure light, correct? He only became that way. No, that's not true. That's why that, you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. This is why I wanted to watch this scene. Maybe I'll play it too. Give us all a nice refresher. Here we go. Let's play this scene. We're going to watch this scene. Chat, I'm going to take you off screen just for a second. Let me put the sound on. Let's all watch this scene play out for a minute. Okay. Monitor and output. Okay, let's watch this scene go down. For those who maybe only be listening on the audio platforms, I'll read out the dialogue for you. But again, this is for those of you who are on the audio platform. This is the scene where Ventus and Union Cross confronts the ancient darkness. So let's just use this as a refresher, because again, the fact that he is entangled with them before and in a sense kind of shows a way to contend with them, maybe even defeat them, depends how you see it. But anyway, enough of me yapping. Let's watch this clip real quick. So here he goes. He's glowing the light. You know what I mean? He's already sort of embodying it. If you're pure darkness, then that makes me pure light. If you used me to reshape yourself, then I can reshape you again. I'll give you a new form that we can defeat. See, Ventus, and this is how you know Ventus is going to be a big part, because Ventus has the capability to do with the darkness what the master wants to do. You know what I mean? This is almost like a trial run. Lorium says, Ven, I can't lose you too. Ven says, everything's going to be all right. Ven jumps in. Goes for it, baby. Okay, let's put the mute on now that we're relatively caught up. So, again, when we see that Ventus has already, in a way, found a way to conceptualize what even the Master of Masters wants to do with the darkness, again, give it form, give it shape. Now, I wonder, will pure lights like Ventus and Kairi, will they be pawns in the Master's plan? Or will they be the trump cards that stops him? Was Ventus pure light twice then? I think Ventus has always been pure light until we learn more about him. Because as we see right there, even when the darkness took him, he was pure light. Or perhaps, let's just ponder a different idea. Maybe he wasn't pure light before he got possessed by the darkness. But then the darkness, in a sense, possessed him. And then when he separated himself again, maybe that's when he became a pure light. Because when in incorporating the darkness and then separating it, it's almost like it sucked the darkness that was there to begin with out of him too. Wouldn't the foretellers be light then if they are also vessels of darkness? That's why, going back to what I questioned earlier, I think characters like Ventus and Kairi are going to be pivotal to stopping the Master of Masters. Because what the Master of Masters is looking for is hearts strong enough to hold the darkness, give it form. Now, that either means, how do I put this? That either means he wants to use characters like Riku, right? Who are strong enough to hold both light and darkness in their hearts. Characters like Riku, characters like Aqua. You can make an argument that Sora is another one of these characters. Or what he wants to do is use characters like Ventus to create forms like Vanitas. So imagine for a minute, let me get you guys back up here. Imagine for a minute, Josh Z is on it. Imagine for a minute that we get a Vanitas version of Kairi. Right? Imagine a Vanitas version of Kairi. Now, I don't think, personally, it'll be the latter. I think he's going to make more use of characters maybe like Riku or Aqua. But again, Hydrate for the working man. Riku and Xehanort both are immune to darkness as well. Yeah, and that's why it'll be interesting to see who the Master targets. Because look, he used the Foretellers first. And honestly, guys, like, the Foretellers are not pure lights. You know what I mean? So I can't imagine that's what he does. Because the Foretellers are not pure lights. So I don't think he's targeting guys like Ventus or girls like Kairi. I think, again, he might have more use for the Terras, the Aquas, the Rikus, the Soras, maybe even Yuzora is one of these people. But I'm starting to think that there is a third. This is where I'm going now that we're talking Ventus and pure lights and all that. I'm now starting to think that there is a third pure light that we don't know about yet. And I'm starting to think it's the Nameless Star. Or that it might be. I don't know. This ain't a Nameless Star podcast. But I think there's a third pure light out there, right? It's very un-Kingdom Hearts to have only two pure lights among the original cast. You know, you have your seven princesses of heart, but now we have two pure lights among our original cast. I think there's a third one hiding under our nose. Either we know them and don't know they're a pure light yet, or this part of them has not been revealed yet. Who knows? Gummy Phone says, I think we'll see an anti-version of everyone that mirrors a foreteller. Interesting. So the way, like, let me think about that. See, maybe it's Subject X. I think Nameless Star is a viable option. Or it could be like Gummy Phone said earlier, and it could be Strelitzia. Strelitzia could have been like the pure light, one of the pure lights of... Oh, wouldn't that be fucking crazy? Wouldn't that be nuts if Strelitzia is a pure light and Ventus is a pure light and the darkness made one pure light strike down another? That would be crazy. Yeah. And I see you guys talking Nameless Star. I think Nameless Star would be a good option, be a good way to kind of tie those worlds together. But again, I know that these characters that are pure lights like Ventus and Kairi will have some significance in the future. Just what... I can't decide whether they will thwart the Master's plans or be a pawn in the Master's plan. I don't have the answer to that just yet. And yeah, maybe it could be Subject X, but I don't think so. If Subject X is Skull, Skull doesn't seem like a pure light to me. Usually you can kind of tell from the design. You know, Ventus is a very bright design. His clothes are like very like... His clothes are the light and dark spectrum. Pure light, like pure dark. You even see it on his wristband. His whole design is about that. It's crazy because it seems like they're hinting at Master of Masters being a pure light too. Hey man, that's the theory that got my channel off the ground. Was that the Master of Masters is a being of just pure, eminent light. Because, you know, it's an interesting concept, man. You know, I've often found, and a lot of series do this, I believe Kingdom Hearts is doing this right now. Final Fantasy does this, particularly Final Fantasy XIV. Soul Calibur does this. And sort of the idea is that light represents order and stasis, right? Light represents order and stasis. And by stasis, I mean that means like things not moving, things not changing, you know? Whereas darkness represents chaos and activity. You know, darkness is what actually moves things, what changes things. Trying to get my thoughts all together on this. Kind of got a little lost there. But anyway, I think Kingdom Hearts is going to start doing this too, right? Where... it's not about light, good, dark, bad. And again, Kingdom Hearts has been doing that for a long time. They've kind of erased this idea, light, good, dark, bad. There's a nuance between them that can and should be achieved, like Riku and Aqua. I mean, think about it. Our Keyblade Masters are two characters that learned how to contend with both the light and the darkness. You know, that's kind of the message that's being sent. You know, you can't... look at Ericus and Xehanort. The reason they died is because they represented the extremes. Ericus being the extreme light, Xehanort being the extreme dark. Whereas the truth, the mastery, is to be found in the middle. So that's why, again, Riku and Aqua are our Keyblade Masters. So again, moving on from that. You have light, which represents stasis and order, and darkness, which represents chaos and activity. So we had the lost... we just had the Dark Seeker Saga, where darkness, for the most part, was our enemy. Whether it be Xehanort, Ansem, Xemnas, Finetus, Young Xehanort, like any dark Maleficent, it was all about darkness manifesting and being our enemy. I do believe Lost Master's arc is about light, stasis, order being the enemy. Because you don't want that extreme. Imagine a world where everything was frozen. Imagine a world where it's nothing but order, no chaos, right? Chaos, this energy of activity and change. If you get rid of that darkness energy, that activity and change, nothing changes. You just have a world that is frozen solid. You know, never changing. Let me see if I could pull up a good visual example of what that might look like. Let me see. I want to see if I can pull up a visual. Okay, it's a little harder than I thought it was. I'll have to save that for another day. But anyway, sort of that idea. And again, what does the Master want? See, this is why I'm inclined to believe it. And this is what Ventus gets me thinking about when we talk about this pure light stuff. I think what the Master wants is a world that is stuck in stasis. You know, look at Union Cross. That was a world pretty much in stasis. Nothing but light. Nothing was really changing. There was no conflict, no evolution. Everything was just kind of stasis. Master introduces a little darkness. You see everything change. So, I believe part of what we're going to see in the next arc is the Master, and I think this is why he likes the world of Quadratum, the world of fiction, because I think a world like that can be controlled in that sense. Whereas in the Kingdom Hearts world, I think light and darkness are always going to fight over this balance. But anyway, I've made my point on that. I want to talk about Vanitas and Ventus for a minute. So, this is something I think we're going to see too. It's going to be weird. I think Vanitas is going to switch sides at some point. Because, let's pull this up. Oh, that's Terra's death? Not what we're going for. Let's watch the Vanitas death scene for a minute here.
I'm the piece of Ventus that was taken away. And you're the piece Ventus needed to be whole again. So, why shouldn't you and I look exactly the same?
Now, I want to pause here because I think that's a really big moment. Again, when you think about what the Master's plan is, there's Sora doing it in action, right? Just as Vanitas explained. When Ventus's heart was fractured, shattered because of the darkness being removed, Sora came in and filled that void. Now the dark, and like this whole situation can be a little confusing, so I'm going to do my best to explain it in simple terms. When Vanitas was extracted out of Ventus's heart, it left a gap. It left a void. Sora is what came in and filled that void. So that void works like a mirror, where because Sora was the one to fill that void, that mirror reflected onto Vanitas's form. And I think we discussed this in an earlier episode. That's why Vanitas's mask is a mirror, because that's really what his symbolic place is in the Kingdom Hearts plot. He kind of mirrors your darkness back at you. So again, because Sora filled the void that was created from Vanitas' departure, like a mirror, that reflection reflected onto Vanitas. So, thus giving the darkness form, you have to believe that this formula is one the Master is going to want to use again, right? Maybe he has a heart that he wants to fracture so that somebody like Sora can come along, fill that fracture, fill that void, and then reflect that form onto a darkness. And like we were saying, maybe he doesn't just do this with Sora. Maybe Vanitas was already a successful creation of that. And now he does it with Riku. Now he does it with Kairi. Who knows? Who knows? But let's get the chat's thoughts before I continue the scene. The logic behind Vanitas' words implies that Sora's heart was Vanitas-shaped. That Sora's heart fit in the gap Vanitas left in Ven's heart. Yeah, that he, again, filled that void. But anyway, let's finish the scene and then we'll keep going.
You define me, Sora, the same way that Ventus does. We are brothers who together make a greater whole.
Then why won't you stand by our side?
He's coming. I'm telling you, he's coming. Kingdom Hearts has a way that when you go back and you play the old games, the truth was always staring you right in the face. I think Vanitas, I don't know, right? Because he might go rogue, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Maybe instead of being a villain, he becomes more of an anti-hero. I do feel like he's going to work, quote unquote, in the shadows to help the Guardians out. May not happen right away, but I see it coming. I see the three of them all working together.
Instead of with darkness.
Because I am darkness.
So you see, he's saying, why won't you stand by our side instead of with darkness? And I feel like by him saying, like, because I am darkness, doesn't necessarily mean that he stands by darkness's side, but just by being darkness, he is standing by Sora and Ventus's side, again, as he explains, by being the shadow that they cast.
And I do stand by your side. I am the shadow that you cast.
Almost as if to say, like, hey, dude, in the endgame, you're going to need me. Because you're going to need the greater whole. You know? Because, again, we've had this battle with light and darkness. And I think the Lost Masters arc is going to be a battle much bigger than that. I think it might even be a battle of chaos and order, which are elements of light and darkness, like I was talking about before. That we're going to kind of graduate from this light and darkness battle and move into something like chaos and order, stasis and activity. But again, let me let this keep rolling.
How much closer could I be?
But I didn't
ask for this. To be sifted apart, nice and neat. We should be free to choose. Not just light. Not just darkness. We decide what we are.
But, Ventus, I did decide who I am. You see?
And what you are is darkness?
What I am is darkness.
And you see, just like I was saying before, guys, how going back in time and watching a scene after more stuff comes out, the context changes. Yosuke, I saw you messaging in the chat asking if Vanitas is a pure darkness. If you go to the scene between Xehanort and Vanitas in Dark Road, and maybe we'll watch it later in the episode. If you go to the Dark Road conversation between Xehanort and Vanitas, it pretty heavily implies that he's one of the ancient darknesses. So again, it seemed like a silly Kingdom Hearts line, what I am is darkness because I am darkness. But then you see, like, no, that is his actual identity. And in Remind, right? When Sora is sort of in the void going through to, like, Ventus's heart, he recognizes the darkness, but then he goes, Vanitas? So again, all coming full circle here. Wally of the West says, so Anti-Aqua might have been a preview of sorts. Exactly. Exactly. I feel like the Dark Seeker Saga might have just been the Master's beta test, right? You have Aqua, who became Anti-Aqua. You have Riku, who got possessed by Ansem. You have Sora, who went completely anti-form in his fight with Xehanort. You have Vanitas, who was created from Ventus's heart. You know, you see a lot of these trials of the darkness taking form in different ways. So, let's keep this going. Strider Ryuki says Vanitas wants to be strong with his brothers and help them get stronger together. Maybe. It's interesting to see what his motivations are. Umbra says, it'd be cool if there's the Foreteller / Master of Masters as a force. There's Sora and the Guardians as a force. And there's Vanitas as a third wheel. And maybe Lushu as a fourth wheel. You know, it would be interesting if Lushu starts to work with the pure darkness. That would be like the ultimate betrayal. And he does bear the sigil. He does bear the sigil. Okay. I don't think we need the sound anymore because that's the pretty much the end of the scene.
Okay.
I know Sora gets a little butthurt here.
How is that okay? Vanitas?
And you see, it's something Sora doesn't understand. And I think that's a really profound part of this, is that clearly what's going on with Vanitas, this true darkness thing, it's something that Sora doesn't understand. And maybe that's what the Lost Masters arc is really about here, is Sora, and by proxy us, coming to this understanding that Vanitas seems to have that comes from sort of those, those ancient times. All right, we are at 45 minutes already, which is kind of crazy. Kind of nuts. 15 more minutes, and then we'll blow this whole thing open to the chat. 15 minutes, and we'll blow it wide open. Let me see. Is there anything I missed? I know I wanted to talk some Birth by Sleep. So, I'm going to be repeating myself for people who watch my show a lot. But to me, a lot of what the Master's doing is just what Xehanort did to the 10th power. And here he is trying to, like, awaken the darkness in Ventus, right? He's trying to awaken it organically, the way it happened with Aqua, the way it happened with Riku, the way it happened with Terra, who's another one I left off my list earlier. Huh. That's something to think about. Huh. Anyway, back to it. Back to it. I wonder if by Xehanort manually extracting darkness out of Ventus's heart, if that, in a sense, makes Vanitas like a sort of virus, like he's this unnatural manifestation of it. Like, that's really the question, right? Like, when it comes to Ventus and Vanitas, is the way Vanitas was created, is that the exception, or is that going to be the rule? Josh Z, Sage of the Lodge, says, now that my brother is awake, I just hope he comes to visit. Vanitas after Ven wakes up. Yeah, it's clear that Vanitas views him in this way. Roxas 13 Pro says, look at No Name. What do you mean, look at No Name? Feel free to elaborate further on that. Okay. As far as Vanitas and Ven goes, so that's the other crazy thing too. Keeping in mind with that, so you know how by Ven and Vanitas clashing, it could forge the Keyblade? What if the Master, again, what if he wants to do that to like the 10th power or by Kingdom Hearts standards, the 7th or 13th power? Imagine the Master of Masters. Imagine he creates 7 Ventuses. This is what I mean by that. Imagine the Master creates 7 characters like Ventus who have had the darkness extracted out of them and made form. And then he gets all seven of those pairs to clash at once. Like, does that make sense, guys? He creates 7 Ventuses. That's the wrong way to put it. He creates 7 dynamics like Ventus and Vanitas, where let's say he does it with Aqua, Terra, Sora, Riku, Yuzora, and Nameless Star, just to pluck 6 out of there. Say he does it with all 6 of them, right? He extracts the darkness and gives them form. He could do it with the Foretellers too, right? Say he does, that's a better way to put it. Say he does it with the Foretellers, and the Foretellers all clash with their darkness counterpart, and by those 7 lights and darknesses clashing, it creates like something even more powerful than a Keyblade. Because if the Keyblade can be forged just by Ventus and Vanitas clashing, imagine doing that with 6 other pairs who have given the darkness form in much the same way. Where again, we just have to see the way Vanitas was created out of Ventus's heart. Is that going to be the exception, or is that going to be the rule? Remains to be seen. Yo, KH Guides and Sunny are here. What is going on, guys? How's everybody doing? And we just got a raid from AluVids over on Twitch. Yo, Umbro, the best mod in the game. Can we get AluVids a shout out over on Twitch? That'd be amazing. That would be amazing. Yo, Tiger Weirdo, I think you're onto it. All right, screw it. We're 50 minutes in. We're 10 minutes before the hour mark. I'm opening it up to the chat now because these are some ideas, man. Tiger says, you mean like the foretellers? Keep in mind the darknesses, I believe, are trapped inside the foretellers, not like inside or anything, just like how Vanitas was trapped inside Ventus. Yeah, because think about that, right? The foretellers are only six, right? There's six of them. You're missing a seventh. Maybe Vanitas and Ventus are that seventh. And that using the six foretellers, if he uses the same formula that you're streaming Final Fantasy I, epic. Absolutely epic. Black Red Pill 3 says, the Birth by Sleep story Nort was giving about the Keyblade War, it has really twisted implications. In Union Cross, we are not told about the Keyblade, not the leaders who directed it, and was Ven the goal from it? You're asking all the right questions, Black Red Pill. You're asking all the right questions. It makes you wonder if that was the purpose. Because you know what? Like, hold on one second. I want to look something up. Okay. One second. So, how do I put this? You know what? It's a bit of a stretch. I'm trying to play off the idea you spat out there, Black Red Pill, that was the purpose of the whole Keyblade War just to send Ventus into the future. I think there was obviously multiple purposes for it. But as far as Ventus goes, I think, again, if it turns out that the way the darkness was given form from Ventus's heart into Vanitas, if that becomes, again, like the beta test for what the Master of Masters wants to do, then I actually think you're right, that that might have been the primary reason. Oak Tudor says, what about the relationship between Vanitas and Aqua? He always wants to kill her, even ignoring other things happening around him to do so. He never does that to Terra. Because Terra was useful in their plans, whereas Aqua was not, as far as Birth by Sleep is concerned, was not useful. But you are right, like, because then in Kingdom Hearts 3, they do need Aqua, but he still has a desire to strike her down. Ooh, that is a good observation. He still does have that burning desire to strike her down. And you're right that he's not that way with Terra. Who knows? Okay. If you would all hang tight real quick, I need to go refill my waters. Or rather, my water. And we'll get right back to it. But drop your thoughts in the chat and we'll get rocking on this. He's a good boy, isn't he? All right, let's get this rolling. Umber says, okay, so I just got back from a DM with a couple people who know Japanese. So Japanese is, well, very chaotic, as I'm sure you know. It seems to imply in Japanese that Xehanort thinks there's more than one lost master when he brings them up. And in the scene with Master of Masters at Xehanort, Master of Masters does refer to himself as a lost master, but in a language form that implies there are more than one. But the new arc in Japanese is still referred to as Lost Master's Arc. Interesting. That does sort of tangle the two of them up. We'll have to wait and see, man. We'll have to wait and see. Hey, yo, Gummy Phone with a $5 super chat. Gummy Phone, my man. What's good, dude? What's good? Everybody give it up for Gummy Phone, baby. Everybody give it up for Gummy Phone. Who says, Master Gula being in the warehouse before Strelitzia fades makes me suspect of him of being connected with Ventus. Gula has the same render pose as Sora. Yeah, we went over that on the... By the way, the link in the chat is to Gummy Phone's channel on YouTube. You guys should absolutely check it out. Absolutely check it out. Gula and Ventus being connected, you know, it might be a loose connection in the sense that maybe Ventus was in like House Leopardus. Yeah, you know, because like leopards are spotted, right? And he's got like a spotted motif on his outfits. It could be something like that. I don't know, but that's a good point. I'm curious to see how the foretellers are going to connect to like modern day characters. Are they going to be from similar bloodlines? Like, yeah, I could buy that Gula and Ventus are from the same bloodline. I could buy into that idea. Let's see. Let's get to the juicy stuff. All right. Gotta love Gula. He's so laid back and all. I like Gula. He's probably my least favorite of the foretellers, though. I like all the foretellers. I think they're some of the coolest characters. They need more than just 45 minutes of screen time, but they have an idea to do some cool stuff with the foretellers, man. Venti Wenti is going to catch so many strays for his Union Cross incidents. Yeah, dude. And we were talking about this earlier, and I guess we can get back into it. Here, let's pause this because don't want to miss this. But, like, we just can't ignore. We cannot ignore that Homie recognizes the Chirithi. Guess we could bring it back to there while we're talking about this kind of stuff. It's something we don't talk about enough. Ken coming full circle here. But, like, it's going to be hard to believe that in that 1 year gap between the end of KH3 and Melody of Memory, that Chirithi hasn't been talking to Ventus about the past. You know, Chirithi even mentions in the final world, like, hey, he doesn't remember the past. You know? But he feels that he does. Obviously, he feels strongly enough. So I don't know, man. We'll see what happens there. Sunny Nova says Naminé could be the key to unlocking Ven's memories due to his close connection with Sora. Yeah, I think Naminé could work her magic on Ventus easy. Might just be a question of if Ventus wants to do it. You know, maybe Chirithi wants to protect him from that. Because in getting his memories back, he's going to remember what he did to Strelitzia. And even though it wasn't him, not an easy thing to remember. Ooh, Sven says the Chirithis are in control of Wielder's memories. So Ven will only remember what Chirithi allows? Really? Can somebody confirm that? Because Sven, that's pretty huge. That's pretty huge. I've been overlooking that if that's the case. Reha says, to be fair, if I saw Chirithi, I'd probably immediately adopt it as well. Union memories are not. Me too. If you just saw that thing peeking at you, you'd be like, come here. I mean, yeah, there's two reactions. You either scream and run for your life because you've watched too many horror movies, or you think it's adorable and you have to adopt it tomorrow. It was the Chirithes that took away the memories from the Dandelions. That is canon. Yeah, okay. Here's Maria saying, I think Chirithes were the reason the Dandelions lost the memories of the war, but I have to double check. Huh. Guys, this might sound stupid. What if the... Please tell me if I'm stupid. What if the Dark Chirithi is the darkness, is a darkness given form? Like, technically speaking? And maybe that's why the Master invented Chirithis? No, Chirithis are kind of blowing my mind right now. I'm not gonna lie. Might start a new episode right now called The One About Chirithi. Holy crap. Yeah, so the Chirithis... Okay, so that pretty much answers this question. If the Chirithis do have, for lack of a better term, authority over the wielder's memories, then yeah, that would explain how Ventus remembers. He might be taking the chance, giving him that memory. Huh. Oh, damn. Shadaryuki says the Chirithis were used to suppress the memories of the war and to give their owners new memories. Damn. Naminé needs a new job, man. Somebody get her an Indeed account. She's going to need a new job. Holy hell. That does change things. Nah, it only happens when a wielder turns evil. Okay. Dark Chirithi could be a beta for testing to see if he can trap darkness in something, and Ven could be the next test to see if he could trap it in a human heart. Yeah, because that's the thing about a Chirithi, man. That's the thing about a Chirithi. Let's get a close-up. Oh, dude, I think you're right. Because, like, if you look at a Chirithi, right? Here, guys, I'm going to take you off the overlay for a second. Actually, let's just move him in a little more here. Like, he looks like a stuffed animal, right? Those aren't biological eyes. It's not a biological, like, nose. There's no mouth for him to talk out of. He's like a stuffed animal brought to life. So I actually think you're right that maybe the Master used Chirithis, like these stuffed animals brought to life, as a way to test if he could give darkness a form in something like that. And then when that successfully passed, he used Ventus as a way to trial it on a human heart. Huh. Whoa. The one about Chirithi, man. One about Chirithi. I don't know what else to tell you. Wouldn't Chirithis stop being made since the Master of Masters left? Yeah. I don't think there's any new Chirithis like being born. I think we're stuck with the supply we got. The Chirithi supply chain is down. It's down. It's not coming back. Pure hearts can't produce nobodies, but they can produce dream eaters. Aren't Gula and Ventus from the same time? They are. And the parallelism between Master of Masters and ventriloquism continues. Yeah. You know, and that's something Gummy Phone talks about a lot. The Master of Masters being like a ventriloquist. Antique toys. Yeah. Got that right. Yeah, because Dark Chirithi's a... He's a crazy dude, man. All right. And, you know, I wonder if the other Dandelions will also be reunited with their Chirithis. I don't know. But, you know, hold on. Let's, yeah. And speaking of the ventriloquism, yo, there might be a bigger ventriloquism motif going on than we thought. Let's dial this back a little bit. Check this out, guys. Because that's kind of how darkness is wielding Ventus. Like, it's not wielding Ventus in a way that it totally owns the mind. It has to, like, instruct him. Like, check it out. Here comes Ventus. So you see, like, the darkness killed Strelitzia, right? The darkness had the ability to do that to Strelitzia, but the darkness can't pick up the Book of Prophecies? Which is kind of odd, man. That's kind of odd. So whatever the darkness did to Strelitzia was like beyond anything material. Kind of nuts. True, Chirithi was in a beaker in the beginning of back cover. You know, Chirithi was nothing but a science experiment. I think it was a test drive. You know what I mean? It was a total test drive. Also, Kairi's outfit is a Chirithi, even has the ears. Huh. I think that could also be a nod that Chirithis are like pure light. That's why you have like pure light Chirithis, pure dark Chirithis. And then, you know, we'll pull this up. I didn't get to talk about this during the first hour. But I think this is a lot of what the future is going to hold. There's going to be a dynamic between these three. I wouldn't even be surprised, guys. I wouldn't even be surprised if Ventus and Strelitzia turns into a ship. You know what I'm saying? I could see Ventus really wanting to make things up to her in some way. Like, I could see Ventus sacrificing himself to bring Strelitzia back. You know, I could almost see Ventus doing for Strelitzia what Sora did for Kairi, if that makes sense. Because I imagine if Ventus gets these memories back, he's going to want to atone in one way or another. God, no, not the ships. I know, the bane of any fan base's existence. Become a ship like Ansem became a ship? Yeah, it's exactly what I mean. It's exactly what I mean. Black Red Pill says, is it that the darkness can't pick up the book? Or is it darkness playing 300 IQ by giving a phrase to directly associate a traumatic incident to? Yeah, so like if the darkness says pick it up to Ventus, he'll have like a big headache, a Cloud Strife headache? Oh boy. Ventus will 100% save, or at least aid in saving Strelitzia? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd say that's kind of a safe bet. Because again, he's going to want to atone. If Chirithi or Naminé or somebody else gives him those memories back, he's not going to sit back and be like, well, yeah, I hope Sora can figure it out. Like you even see, right? In Kingdom Hearts 3, Ventus has this compulsion to get involved. Excuse me. Let me pull this up. Right about here.
Terra, look after them.
Which, isn't it wild that he said the same thing Master Ericus said? I'm going to tell you right now, I would not be surprised if Sora and Ericus are part of the same bloodline. Hear me out on that. Going a little off topic here, but I'll say it. Just an idea I've been playing around for a bit. So we know that Brain and Ericus are from the same bloodline, and Brain is what's known as a blue blood. And, you know, in Missing Link, you have this society of wielders, non-wielders. You know, you have this sort of, how would I put it? Since we're playing with the bloodlines like this, it's sort of implied that Xehanort and Ericus's bloodline is sort of like the main bloodline of wielders, and that Ericus and Brain's bloodline is sort of like this sub-bloodline, for lack of a better term. I would not be surprised if Sora and Ericus are part of the same bloodline. Not that Ericus is Sora's dad or uncle or grandfather. He could be like his like third cousin twice removed. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Sora and Ericus are from this bloodline. Because remember, Brain said he was going to be the virus in the master system. And then you have this bloodline of Brain to Ericus. And you have parallels between Sora and Ericus. You know, Xehanort saying, you make me think of an old friend. Him saying, Terra, look after them. You know, he picks up the Master's Defender in Kingdom Hearts 3. There is a lot of overlap between Ericus and Sora, where I wouldn't be surprised if Sora is a blue blood, and if this whole blue blood bloodline is the virus in the Master System that Brain was talking about. Because maybe that's what led to Sora getting a hold of the Kingdom Key. Anyway, the idea's a little out there. I don't want to get bogged down in it, but just thought I would share. Sonny says, first piece of promotional content for K3 was Sora picking up the Master Defender. Dude, absolutely. The 2015 E3 trailer. Dude, there's just a lot of overlap between the two of them. I think they're going to be part of the same bloodline. I do. Here, let's keep this scene going for a minute, because you're going to notice that Ventus has this compulsion to want to help, want to do more. Here.
No, Sora. I'm going to.
That's what he wants. For us to make a mistake. Put ourselves in danger.
Sora, go. We'll catch up with you.
So, you see, like, that's what he wants, for us to make a mistake. I can imagine that the Master might prey on that. That he's going to hear about Strelitzia, and then he's going to want to do something to bring Strelitzia back to atone. And now, boom, the Master has another pure light in Quadratum. Boom, like that. Know what I'm saying? Sonny Nova says, I was worried about Sora being a descendant of Ephemer for a hot minute. I just hope he's a normal boy. Too many Chosen Ones in media, to be honest. Yeah, I think the whole Chosen One thing, usually it's kind of a cop-out. I think there are some series that do it well when they explain why someone is a Chosen One, right? Because, like, for instance, like, because there's always a Chosen One in media, right? Every, like, piece of media has its Chosen One. But, like, for instance, Full Metal Alchemist, the reason Edward Elric is the Chosen One is because the very conflict itself is rooted in his family history, right? Hohenheim is the reason Father was able to get out of the flask, create himself into like a philosopher's stone. Like, the very conflict of humanity is rooted in Edward Elric's family bloodline. So it makes sense why Edward Elric would be a Chosen One. Same thing could be said for Luke Skywalker. You know, he was the normal boy from the farm, but he became this Chosen One because the conflict ran through his bloodline. So I think when you play on the Chosen One thing in those sort of terms, it can work very well. But I'm with you. I think an even more powerful message is that an ordinary boy or an ordinary person, ordinary girl, they could just be the Chosen One through their actions, you know? Just through their actions alone, they can become a Chosen One that you don't need it connected to your family line. You don't need it to be like destiny chose this person. Because, like, you know, Sonny, we have this whole like Child of Destiny thing coming to Kingdom Hearts. And I guess I'm just in the camp where it's like, I hope that Child of Destiny is something that's just purely decided by one's actions and not by one's bloodline per se. Or no. I could do, like I said, I could do a bloodline if the conflict itself runs through the bloodline, but not just because like, not just because they're the main character. Let's just put it that way. Anakin is the chosen one, not Luke. I mean, that is true in a literal sense because he was the one who threw Palpatine overboard and killed him. But Anakin doesn't do that if not for his son. You know what I mean? It was this... like, yeah, Anakin was the one who literally killed Palpatine, but Luke was the one who saved Anakin. And that was really the one who saved the day. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Darth Vader saved the day or that Darth Vader or Anakin was the hero, because it was Luke who manifested that into reality by never giving up on his father, seeing the light in the darkness in his heart, even when he turned into Space Hitler. But anyway, technically, isn't Riku our chosen one? Yet, see, Riku is one of... this is actually what I like about Kingdom Hearts, is that Riku is like one of the chosen. He was bequeathed a Keyblade so that he was the one ready to inherit it. And honestly, there might be something more to that chosen one because he was going to get the Kingdom Key itself. Raya says in Kingdom Hearts, hasn't it always been that Riku is the chosen one? So Sora is kind of Riku's Luke, if we're going with that comparison? No, I don't think you can compare the two. I don't think you can compare the two. I have reason to believe Sora could be the virus that Brain was talking about. I think Sora may very well be the virus Brain was talking about, and that he's from this supposed bloodline that wasn't supposed to be a chosen one, but due to Riku's failure or fall to darkness, the virus kicked in and the Kingdom Key had a default. And I think that's what could make Sora's position in the story very powerful. He's like I was saying, he becomes the chosen one through the merit of his actions, as opposed to Riku just being the chosen one because Terra bequeathed him a Keyblade and that he's part of Ephemer's bloodline. You know, to me, it's so much better to have a character be that chosen one because they were the one who didn't fall to darkness. You know? Riku being the intended child of destiny makes sense. Uzora looking like Riku instead of Sora might not be a coincidence. It isn't at all. Like, if we just go right with that line of thinking, Sonny, that's why Uzora is the true king. You know what I mean? And that's why I think this is ultimately what's going to make Sora dangerous. You know? What do you think happened to Ventus's missing ache from Kingdom Hearts Union Cross? I'm curious where his wayward wind came from. He had it before the Vanitas split. Let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that. I'm going to pull up his Keyblade, Wayward Wind. Let's take a little look at this. Oop, nope. Let me switch that over. There we go. All right. Open this in a new tab. Oh, I know it's a little blurry, but is there anything on here that can give us a clue? Ah, damn it, I've waited all week and I missed the live stream by an hour. Oh, Theo Wayne, dude, we missed you. But you made it. You made it in time, dude. You made it in time. We're still chilling. What was Ventus's Keyblade in Union Cross? I think he had this Keyblade. Let's give it a look. Maybe he takes it out in this scene? I still think Ventus is the master of masters. I'm not a believer in that. If you want to pitch your case, though, I'd be happy to hear your thoughts. Does he take out the Keyblade in this scene? Nah, that's a different Keyblade. He's got a different Keyblade there. Which one is that? Huh. I'm looking at all his Keyblades right now. I'm seeing if I can find it. Nope, it's not that one. Mask of a Hero? Mark of a Hero? No, that's Olympus. Nope. That one actually looks a little like Kairi's. Dude, is this not listed? Is that Stroke of Midnight? Anybody know which Keyblade he has in Union Cross in this scene? The missing 8 Keyblade. That's what you guys were getting at. Jesus. Huh. It's not listed here. Ventus missing 8. 1 second. Let's take a look at that. Umbra dropped it in the chat. My man. My man. Let's get this opened up. Ooh, it's tiny. Can we get a... All right, this is the best I could get. Let me switch this up. Hmm. 1 second, guys. There we go. What did happen to this? Huh. I don't know. All right. I thought there was something there. I couldn't find anything. If you guys have any thoughts about it, feel free to share them. We're about an hour and 20 minutes in. So we'll let this roll a little while longer before we wrap up. Boycott Ven? Jeez, what did I miss? Hey, Lanny, do you believe that the Master of Masters is even human? I believe the Master of Masters is a being of light. It's a good question. I felt that way for a long time. I've decided it's time to start thinking about what exactly that means and how he ended up that way. Yo, Kevin Hughes, a new Sage of the Lodge, everybody. Give it up for Kevin, baby. Another Kevin joins the Sages. My man, dude, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Welcome him aboard, everybody. Kevin Hughes, a new Sage of the Lodge. But anyway, here's the thing about the Master. I think he was human at one point. This is a real shot in the dark. Real shot in the dark right here. I think the Master was human. But this is really weird. I'm not very confident in the theory I'm about to say. But I think it's possible because, you know, I've put out a theory video about this. A lot of people have put out theory videos about the Master of Masters being a being of pure light, you know, something along those lines. Truth is what you see with your eyes, not what you hear. Bang, flashlight. I can go into it. I've gone into it a million times. I don't need to go into it right now. But the question becomes, how did he end up that way? Because we know in Union Cross that he had a world where he had friends and the darkness took his world. I think the Master, if anybody's seen Full Metal Alchemist, you know where I'm going with this. I think the Master took the darkness out of his heart the way Xehanort did to Ventus. I think he took it out of his heart and, in a sense, created the Foretellers. This is a very out there theory, okay? Very out there theory. Please, please don't take it as fact. But I'm curious your guys' thoughts. I think the Master of Masters created the Foretellers from within himself by removing some of those darker elements. And then that's what made him a being of pure light? Because if that theory is going to fly that he's a being of pure light, that means he did something to remove the darkness from him. And I think he might have used it to create the foretellers, which is why they have the seven deadly sins as a motif, that he removed that, created them. And that's why he's the way he is and they're the way they are. That's why he can't take the hood off. But I'll leave it at that. I'm not very confident in it, but I'll leave it at that. This is the version of Missing Ink that Ven has. Oh, here we go. Yeah, this is much better. Much better. There it is. There it is. Okay. I actually wonder if the 13 darknesses are from Master of Master. Kind of like he's a Pandora's box. That's another way to conceptualize it. Oh, God. We're in my Twitch? That was stupid. Anyway, that is one way to conceptualize it. Here we go. Here we go. Move this over here. I think that's very possible, too. Is that the Master kind of severed darkness from himself and wants to put it in another form? I don't know. I want answers. All right, Kevin dropped something. This is going to be kind of off the wall, but what if Quadratum is where nobodies live / sleep before they awaken and go to reality? Think about this. Quadratum is a place with no light or darkness. I see where you're going. Someone's light or darkness stored manifested within someone's heart. Nobodies don't have hearts. No heart equals no light or darkness equals Quadratum. That'll explain why Luke's sword is there. That'll explain why Strelitzia is there. And why she's sleeping in the artwork, so Yuzora could actually be Riku's nobody. Maybe, I'm not convinced, because nobodies usually look like the person they were made from. And Yuzora looks like Riku, but he almost looks too old to be like Riku. So I don't know. All right. Let's see what you guys are saying. Kevin, you snapped. I feel like nobodies do come from Quadratum. It's plausible. I'm not convinced yet. But it is plausible. You had me on the, it's a place of no light or darkness, so nobodies could be stored there, live there. But I don't know. Riku hasn't died yet. Yeah, that's the other thing. He's been possessed. Riku will die. I'm a believer. Yeah, it's very messy. Yeah. I mean, dude, there's enough loose ends. All this gets a little messy. Okay. I have a theory about the Master of Masters that I've been dying to tell you. All right, yo, spit it out. Let it out. We're all ears. Hype man, thank you for hanging out, man. Good to see you. Yuzora is also like 6'7" for some reason. Is that like a model scaling issue? I know Sora is a shortcake, but still. Yeah, I don't know. It's really funny in data greeting when you put them side by side. Blaze Burnett says, hey, Landy, I sent you an email about the differences between Xehanort and Kairi's grandma story. Yeah, I thought I replied to you. Am I crazy? Oh, look at that. You replied to my reply. Look at you. Okay. Yeah, and now would be a good time to say it. I guess since Blaze brought it up, I let you in on it. We're going to do another audience theories episode soon, guys. Probably next month. We'll do an audience theory episode. October the latest. But keep your eyes and ears open. I got a lot of emails that are going to come first. But keep your eyes and ears open for that. All right. Seemingly has been a year since KH3 thought so. That could be why Yuzora looks older. That could be it too. Imagine Daybreak Town being created from Keyblade from the first war then? Nuts. Bro, Burning Baboon, my man, Sage of the Lodge, says, I really enjoyed the first audience theory. That's great. Me too. I had a great time with it. I'm excited to do it again. Kevin Yu says, I'm more so thinking everyone would have a nobody that already exists in Quadratum, but they only come to reality after someone's heart falls to darkness. Yeah, that could be a place where they're stored. It's possible. I just wasn't sold on the examples you gave me, but it is possible. All right. All right, we are at an hour and a half. Which is kind of nuts. That flew by, and we got zero drop frames, baby. The internet is back. Thank God for that. Zero drop frames. We got 51 people watching on YouTube. That's crazy. What's going on, fam? Make sure you guys hit that like button, man. Please the almighty algorithm. Let small channels like mine help. It really helps small channels like mine get discovered. Because I know the algorithm is pretty like-based. Does the X mean Quadratum or something else? I think it means something else. Do you have a theory as to why Azora looks like Riku? So one, you have to consider that that's not what Azora really looks like. You have to consider that's not what Azora really looks like. I think Sunny was getting into this. Somebody in the chat was getting into this. But it's possible Azora might be what Riku looks like in Quadratum. And that by the time we fight Azora chronologically in the secret episode, that Azora took Riku's body? Because again, if you look, like, if you put Sora side by side with Quadratum Sora and Riku side by side with Azora, Azora looks like the Quadratum version of Riku. And then you consider the whole Verum Rex True King motif, and that Riku was the rightful wielder. It's possible that the body that Azora is using is connected to Riku in some way. The idea that it's Riku himself, I don't know. But I do think it's very plausible that that body, which is not Azora's body, is in one way or another connected to Riku, be it that it is Riku himself in Quadratum form, or it's like the Quadratum version of Riku? Who knows? Strange how Riku is having dreams about Azora and Quadratum all of a sudden. Yeah, and that, like, in his dreams, he didn't take a, like, Quadratum form. You know, like, Sora clearly changed by being in Quadratum, like, his appearance. So the same thing would happen to Riku. You know what I mean? But in that dream, he's still himself. I don't know. By the same time, Verumrex commercial and box art were before the end of KH3, so he already looked like Riku before Riku even gets there. Also a good point. Sora didn't look differently initially in the KH3 secret movie. That's because I think that might be a dream. You know what I mean? Let's see. Who's cooking? Blaze Burnett says, if Master of Masters released the darkness from himself and he created the foretellers, wouldn't that mean they all look similar to someone who had a connection to him? Not necessarily, but maybe that's why they have masks. Let's see what else we got. Cummy Phone says, I think we saw in the secret episode is directly after Limit Cut. It was the result of Cid's complete computer going to sleep to process the data of a recreated final battle. That's an interesting idea. Sorry, my theory was so long. Did I miss it? Oh, it got split up. Okay, here we go. Master of Masters says, I think I figured out the Master. Not who he is, but his tragic story. What do we know about the Master and his relationship with darkness? He hates darkness because he lost so many friends and comrades. But what if there's something he didn't tell Lushu? I think the Master got possessed, just like Ventus, and through him, the darkness struck down his friends. That's why he hates them so much. Oh, I love where this is going. He was turned into a weapon. So if you go back to that line, the Master said to young Xehanort, I'm too much of a scaredy cat to ever take mine off, meaning that when he put on the black coat, he's afraid that if he does take it off, he could get possessed again. He could lose more people he cares about. So in truth, it doesn't matter who is under that coat because he's just a man who has lost a lot. And I think that's where it ends. Okay. That's pretty interesting, man. I do like that. All right. I'm going to wipe it up. I'm going to wrap it up here. I am feeling pretty tired. Had myself a bit of a long day. Going to go chill out. But I did drink this cup of tea. This caffeine might keep me up all night. If that's the case, maybe we'll do a stream. Do an late night FF14 stream like the old days. But I am going to wrap it up here. This was a good time. You know, with Ventus, at the end of the day, Ventus is a pretty straightforward character. At the end of the day, right? All things considered, his story is pretty straightforward. Like, we get a lot of... Like, Ventus, we've got his backstory. We have everything in Birth by Sleep and everything proposed in Kingdom Hearts 3. So, oh boy, we got a $20 super chat. Oh boy, okay, maybe we can go a little longer. Just put a little change in the gravy train. Gravy train's got a little juice now. King on my throne says, hey, in a story, in your opinion, when is it better to say something in fact or let the fan base make theories? Example, I feel like Kingdom Hearts should always be a mystery. I also dislike Roxas Trio coming back for fans. All right, let me address the first part. First of all, King on my throne, thank you so much for that super chat. That is so appreciated. $20 ain't cheap. So everybody in the chat, please give the homie a lot of love for fueling the gravy train. As for your question, yeah, you kind of split it up into three parts there. I'll address it one at a time. So for your first question, when is it better to say something is fact or let fan base make theories? So that is always dependent on the kind of story you're writing. If you're writing something that's historical fiction, you should, for the most part, give out the facts as often as you could. If you're writing something that has an element of mystery to it, be it Kingdom Hearts or freaking stories like Persona 5, which is you're kind of being a detective, you know? You should string the fan base along. But I think ultimately what you want to do is no matter what mystery you introduce, you have to solve most of them. Like, you can leave things open-ended. You can leave things a mystery forever in some ways. That's how you get people to always talk about your story. Like, people still talk about the ending of Pulp Fiction. People still talk about the ending of Inception. People still talk about all these mysteries that have been left up. So there are some mysteries you can leave up for grabs. But ultimately, I think so for the most part, when a mystery is introduced, you can hold your cards as long as you want. As long as you resolve them eventually. So that's how I'd answer the first part of your question. As for part two, I feel that Kingdom Hearts should always be a mystery. I think, as you're saying, with every Kingdom Hearts game should come more answers and more questions. Like, I'm agreeing with you there. I think that would be the case. As for bringing Roxas and Shion back, I love it. Like, At a base level, I see why leaving them out could be a good story decision, but bringing them back reduced me to tears. So if they follow through and Roxas and Shion get to play a part, even if it's just a small part, if they get to play a part in the future, then I'm all for it. Then I'm all for it. Yeah, dude. All right. Let's see what else we got. I just want everyone to have a happy ending. Then I don't know if Kingdom Hearts is for you. Like every Kingdom Hearts game has, it's always going to be a little bittersweet. Sometimes it's more sweet than it is bitter. Sometimes it's more bitter than it is sweet. I'm not sure everyone can just have a happy ending because I don't think that's the nature of Kingdom Hearts. Maybe in the final game you get that, but I think until you get to the final game, it's always going to be something bittersweet. Like Burning Baboon says, someone always gets screwed. Someone always gets the raw end of the deal. As Lanza Masters is saying, can't have it all. Can't have it all. Salty but sweet, like sea salt ice cream, man. Like sea salt ice cream. All right. I think Roxas will naturally take Ven's place in the story as Ven becomes Master of Masters. Again, I'm not sold on Ven being the Master of Masters. But I don't know. I don't know. Who am I to say? Who am I to say? But anyway, look, we're going to wrap it up there. Kingdom Hearts is beautiful, period. Sora started off trying to save his friends. Now they have to save him. It's all a cycle, man. And that's why I think people are too hard on Kairi's character, because she has saved Sora in every single numbered title. Like, if Kairi's in the game, she's going to save Sora at some point. And as far as Kingdom Hearts 2 goes, Riku. As far as Kingdom Hearts 3 goes, everybody. But anyway, I am going to wrap it up here. This was a good time. Great episode. Happy to be back. Should have another episode this weekend. You could expect some videos to drop this week and some streams here and there. I'm hooked on FF14 and FF16 all over again. So you guys will see it. But we're going to close it out here. This was a great episode. Glad you guys came to hang out. Yeah, we'll see you soon. And much love to Gummy Phone, King on My Throne, and Mark Creation Studios for throwing some donations today. Much appreciated, guys. Very much appreciated. And yeah, of course, last minute chat, always. Peace out, guys. We will see you on the next one. Later.